rather than his qualifications, the backlash. So, I mean, I'm just asking the question here. What has a person's beard got to do with the fact that he's qualified to do the job that he's been assigned to do by our commander-in-chief? Just something on the side there. Or not, you know, really. So the backlash has reignited concerns over the rise of online hate speech and religious intolerance in South Africa, even as Kasim has pledged to serve all South Africans and focus on improving the country's higher education sector. Online, Dr. Faisal Suleiman from the South African Muslim Network. Dr. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Faisal. So, since Kasim's appointment, much of the online discussion has mainly focused on his faith and his physical exterior rather than his qualifications, his expertise, and literally what he's bringing to the portfolio and the job.
Yes, and we've seen this now for the past few weeks, haven't we? A dramatic rise in Islamophobic hate messaging on social media. And you know, the appointment of the DA, who took his oath wearing this blue turban, has just added more fuel. So there's two issues. One is, of course, those who are just opposition to the DA, for mainly for his, well, neoliberal economic policies, but clearly it's 150% support of Israel. Helen was a big word, genocide doesn't exist. so that is the one criticism from Palestinian groups, from other Muslim groupings, etc., of the DA in itself. And that would then include, you know, Muslims who are part of the DA. So that is one thing. But of course, this other framing is very interesting, coming on the back of weeks of. And then, you know, the question for us is who benefits and who, and we've been analyzing and saying that some of the messaging, and it has all the hallmarks of a coordinated campaign. This is just not random. The timing of the messages, the flood on it, the hashtag, the very often similar type of messaging that is coming across, and it has the hallmarks of a coordinated. And then, so the question is, who would want to do this? Well, you see, if you demonize the messenger, you delegitimize the message, isn't it?
Yes.
It is what has been done all over the world to the native African Americans, to the Aborigines, to the, all of the Aztec people, train them as savages, and to wipe them out is okay. And then, of course, the same narrative from the Orientalist mindset on Islam. So let's fast forward it, then you have, you know, the Crusades, you have 9/11, the War on Terror, and now we have to just think who will benefit. And the people who benefit the most, the people who have got the funding, where they are often, you know, sometimes these are opaque funding mechanisms, but sometimes clear indications that Israeli state money goes into various NGOs, goes into Christian Zionist movements, it filters down all over the world, and South Africa, being such a country that is so visibly and openly pro-Palestinian, where Hamas has come in the past and been able to visit, and of course the ICJ case, it would make us, you know, combine that with the Pentecostal churches funding access, those church trips to Israel, all of that would make us ripe for a campaign to delegitimize the Muslim community, paint us as foreign, paint us as the other. And therefore, you undermine the cause. You fracture civil society. It becomes unattractive to be siding with Muslims. You know, you're not quite sure now. Am I going to get attacked? And most importantly, now it's normalizing. You know what Trump did with MAGA. He normalized racism. He normalized chauvinism, etc. And now what we're seeing is a normalization of hostility towards Muslims, and it has some very, very dangerous. You know, potential dangerous outcome.
Now, Dr. Faisal, I mean, I looked at some of the comments, etc. One kind of stood out for me, and when there was talk, and there is this continued talk that investigative journalists should look into a major heavy hand, a third force behind the African migrant sentiment, which has taken not center stage, but it's occupied a lot of our mainstream media spaces and has actually gotten a lot of South Africans into the rhetoric and the language of anti-foreign national, anti-immigrant. They are taking our jobs. They are doing this. They are doing that, etc. It largely comes down to failure on the side of our ruling administration. So perhaps our anger is misguided. But looking at Yusuf Kassim, amongst many comments, one comment was quoted as saying, Muslims are becoming a pandemic in South Africa. We must be careful. We're going to have to watch out. So whether this is a keyboard commando or it's a bot, whatever, at the end of the day, this is a very dangerous form of language usage, because Islam has been in South Africa for practically 400 years and has been part of the liberation movement and struggle for hundreds of years from the time that the slaves were brought here by the Dutch. They resisted and continue to resist. But this type of language, Dr. Faisal, puts us in very dangerous waters.
Oh, no, therefore, I say it points to a coordinated hand. As you say, multifactorial funding, access, creating the bots, providing the network support, hiring of the providing the IT support, hiring of the people who will sit and type all of these out and spread it out. So the networks that have been developed over decades in the United States, in Europe, etc., have now slowly been begun to develop in our country, I think, over the past few years. And I think the forces that would like to see the Muslim community isolated, targeted, etc., have realized, the genocide has made it plain as to what Israel is. The attacks on Iran and now, of course, the massacres and the flattening of properties, etc., the occupation of Lebanon has taken off the mask about Israel. So it becomes very hard now for the Zionists to defend Israel. So what's the best next thing? Next thing is to take away the credibility of those who are in support of Palestine, and therefore cause all of the things I mentioned, fracture civil society, undermine them, delegitimize us, etc. And those comments make it clear. I mean, as you rightfully say, anyone that knows South African history, anyone that has, interacted with Muslims at work, at school, in business, in the cafes, in the shops, etc., even, those, one of the targets have been Muslims in the townships, many of the Pakistanis, Somalis, etc., openly stand out as Muslim because of dress. Our dress very often makes us stand out. And therefore, in a way, what we do gets amplified by the fact that it's so visibly Muslim. One just has to think of one or two Muslim names that have crept up in the police corruption, and how it gets amplified that this is the Muslim general or the Muslim the others that are mentioned, etc. So our good can get amplified by the way that we dress and social, but so does the bad. And when you have willing people out there to amplify, to use the megaphone, tactics, and you're going to have this. And as I said, very dangerous, not only at the level of physical harm, but desecration of mosques, attacks, it's not like it hasn't happened. And then subtly, your student applying for a bursary, Muslim student, your Muslim with a scarf or a kurta or a beard, etc., openly visible as a Muslim, applying for a job. Once you start planting those seeds and creating this hostility, it has huge ramifications for job creation, for university admissions, everywhere.
Now, Dr. Faisal, recently, a couple of months ago, more than a couple of months ago, one of our so-called artists, the Kifness, went on a tirade and he kind of implicated and came with a completely false narrative, a lot of lies. He's the same one that actually believes about the white Afrikaner genocide, etc. But he went in a tirade and he went about attacking Dr. Naledi Pandor, ex-minister, also Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. And these two individuals are two beacons, not as Muslims, but as South Africans and as humanitarians. I think all of this could then be linked if we put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Why would they, out of nowhere, suddenly become a social activist? And we've seen coordinated attacks now on the Palestinian movement. As you'll know, in the Western Cape, you have legal action, so the use of lawfare, the use of smear campaigns. Even when one looks at some of the statements coming out from Martin and Martin leadership, the constant word there that they've used repeatedly, and that's why it makes me know that there's foreign-funded. Now, none of the Muslim organizations have been foreign-funded. If anything, funds have gone to humanitarian causes overseas. Hmm. But none of the all the NGOs, etc., are foreign-funded. I have said that we've never received a cent from locally, let alone internationally, etc. And yet that word is dropped continuously. And why? Because between the lines, is that it's like a pejorative, the hint that it could be foreign terrorist funding from wherever, Al-Qaeda. And so you don't have to say it. You just emphasize the word foreign funded. Now, why would the March and March suddenly, out of nowhere again, start strategically using that word foreign funded Muslim organization? Mm. It's there. There's a hand in it. There's someone out there directing this movie. It's not random. And therefore, we have to become all the more vigilant, all the more organized, and all the more proactive.
Mm. It certainly does amplify the thoughts of a third force in respect of this, for certainly a third force involved in trying to amplify discontent, malcontent with African migrants in the country. No coincidence. But then this, Dr. Faisal, then speaks of perhaps of a much broader perspective. It's not just religious intolerance in South Africa that we should kind of categorize it as. It's far bigger than that, isn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely. And given the shift overseas towards nationalism, and if you throw in the fact that there are funders behind the Zulu nationalist movement to when they're planning, it's a 5, 10, 15 year outlook or plan that they have in mind to fund a cessation of KwaZulu-Natal from South Africa. To turn this into South Sudan and Sudan and Somaliland and Somalia.
Mm.
And then when the Freedom Fund Plus joins up and coalesces with the One Cape movement, when suddenly you have this immigrant whose organizational skills, funding, etc., to push, and given all the choke points that have come up recently. And the fact that we can't, there's a subtle war, there's a proxy war going on, China, USA, Russia.
Mm.
Bases become strategic, as we've seen. Choke points have become, as we all know, extremely strategic, whether it's the Strait of Hormuz or what the Houthis can do or what can happen to the Suez Canal, etc. So the Cape Horn is now an extremely valuable piece of real estate for a naval base, for drones, etc. And so movements that promote the secessionist ideology, it may sound far-fetched, but our coastline is so huge and so strategic that it is in the Western interest to fracture South Africa. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a slow process, and a civil unrest, civil chaos, fomenting the sort of nationalism that we see now. All of it is, it could be part, little chess pieces in a bigger game.
Mm. Certainly warning signs. In conclusion, Dr. Faisal, the role of political leaders and even our religious scholars, their response to public discourse when it shifts like this, and we see now the paradigm of the far right gaining a major trajectory. It's on a big trajectory globally, including in South Africa. What should our political leaders be focusing on? And I think importantly also our religious leaders, because this is absolutely essential for us to focus on.
At the moment, strategically for us, either you keep quiet or you go along, given the local government elections are a few months away.
Mm.
And other than the EFF, who we disagree with on many other things, who've been openly, vocal against the Afrophobia that we've seen, All of the political parties have chosen either, you know, to be silent, or the NKs, the Action SAs, etc., openly supportive of this. And none of them is going to come out and be too loud denouncing all of this, simply because there's public sentiment, there's a movement, there's a flow, and there's votes to be had. You know, I mean, have you ever seen anyone openly attack the taxi industry and call them to come to book? Because it's a huge industry in control of a lot of votes. So the strategic advantage that they have on our roads. So, and the lawlessness and the chaos they can bring to bear. So that is what is going to happen with, I mean, the DA, I've seen the statement issued, you know, in support of their minister, etc. But, and therein lies the irony that, you know, the DA is a very defender of who are most likely a source of funding for the very Islamophobia that the minister is getting attacked on. But so that is political leaders who we know are going to, you know, sway with public opinion and what gets them votes. I think it is extremely important for the religious, particularly, you know, those with the gravitas of the members and the radio shows and the big night talks, etc., now to take a bit of the gloves off. We need, we've said it for years, we need to redirect. I mean, we need a solid legal team to take on. Imagine, you know, every forum and such about keeping quiet when there were texts on their constituencies openly, like we're having now. You'd have law pay, you'd have, you know, media, you'd have all of this. And I think we need to, our leaders have to, who have the ear of the community, have to say to the business people, redirect some of your charitable spend that we're spending, you know, on feeding and more feeding, etc. Some of it has to be redirected to a strategic term to fund full-time, you know, legal operations. You're not going to get too many attorneys and advocates who volunteer their time. And alhamdulillah to those who do. But, you know, it's part-time. The work gets left because you do it when you're free, etc. It never happens. We need to full-time fund legal teams to take on, you know, those who are, especially South Africa, where can they be traced? The bots, of course, will be hard, but there are many South Africans that can be made examples of in the court, as Every Forum has done, as Solidarity, as Search Board has done. And I mean, we all know they, you know, that taking their said, I mean, Palestinian PSC and MJC, etc., using lawfare to silence them. And we have to do the same here.
Dr. Faisal, we've unfortunately run out of time. Yeah. Unfortunately, thank you so much, Jazakallah. Dr. Faisal Suleiman from SAMNET.